Good afternoon, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to the Cheesehead TV postgame show here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Your Green Bay Packers are now 6-0 on the season after a win against the St. Louis Rams 24-3 on Throwback Weekend in Green Bay, Wisconsin. How you doing, everybody? I assume you're doing pretty well after yet another win. We can only hope the Brewers do the same this evening as they face the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 6 of the NLCS. So we're looking forward to that. But the Packers dominant today. At least they were in the first half, I suppose. What we're going to do is run down some of the scoring, go through some of the individual statistics, and then open it up to you, the viewer, the reader here at Cheesehead TV. We'll open up the phone lines, and by all means, I'm going to lean on you today. I was at Throwback Weekend in Green Bay. I was tailgating this morning with the rest of everybody else, and once kickoff came, got hopped in the car, and I just listened to the first half, and I listened to Wayne and Larry, and got back home a little past halftime and watched most of the second half on TV, although I even missed a little bit of that. So you're not going to get some hardcore analysis from me today. I mean, I can talk about what I saw, which wasn't all that much. And what I missed the fireworks. I listened to them. I heard Wayne describe them in detail, Wayne Larrivee, and they were exciting. And let's get to it here. Let's get through some of the scoring. Packers kick things off. The only scoring in the first quarter is a Mason Crosby 32-yard field goal. Packers go up 3-0 early in the game, or at least midway through the first quarter. That's it till the second quarter when the Packers get on the board next. James Jones gets a 35-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. Scored now 10-0 Packers. And here's where it really gets exciting. Jordy Nelson, about midway through, gets a 93-yard pass from Aaron Rodgers. Touchdown, kick is good. Packers go up 17-0, and they strike once again before the half is over. Donald Driver, 7-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers, 24-0. And from there, the Rams get a field goal just before halftime, 7 seconds left before half. Josh Brown, a 36-yard field goal, but that's all the Rams would get on the day. Final score, Packers 24, Rams 3. That is it. No scoring in the second half. That's about as boring a second half as you can possibly get. It was the Packers had all the excitement in the first half, and they put it on cruise control, I guess you could say. Cruise control today for the Packers, but cruise control is enough to win. The Packers obviously are one of the best teams in the NFL, and it's going to take quite the effort for anybody to beat the Packers. At home, on the road, you name it. Oppie says, wow, just a very quiet crowd. Yeah, it was pretty quiet today. I mean, you know, aside from the fireworks in the first half of the game, the touchdown strikes by Aaron Rodgers to a multitude of receivers, James Jones, Jordy Nelson, Donald Driver, all getting into the act. But in the second half, there was nothing a whole lot to cheer about. Question from Bogman on the live blog. What about the bird from Hawk? It's the big story. Yes, that is kind of unique, isn't it? You don't expect that out of AJ Hawk. He's kind of a, you know, one of the more mild-mannered people on the team. You know, you just don't expect that. He's a captain, a Super Bowl captain last year. He's one of the kind of guys you would think the young guys on the team, the rookies, would look up to. And he's going to have to answer to it now. It'll be interesting to see how the post-game interviews go and see what he has to say for himself. You know, AJ Hawk is such a good guy that I think, you know, he's going to come away from it pretty good. You know, nobody's going to hold it against him for too long. He's not going to get away with it for the next 24 hours. It'll be pointed out everywhere. As I've been told, it's on, you know, making the rounds on different sports websites already. So, you know, that was something that with very little else to talk about in this game, with a 24-3 victory and no scoring in the second half. It's things like that, I suppose, that are going to grab the headlines. So, you know, we're going to talk about AJ Hawk. We're going to talk about Sam Shields' injury, I suppose. People will debate about that. Here, Sam Shields gets a very nice interception. Fantastic interception. Sam Shields is stepping up his play in the second, for the second game in a row. The past couple games played really well and, gets the interception in the end zone, attempts to run it out, or at least he wanted to see what was ahead of him, in front of him. Never did get out of the end zone, kind of ran right into a tackler without seeing him. Ends up getting suffering a head injury. We can only assume a concussion. And, it's the debate is now, you know, should he have just gone down, just kneeled down, taken the touchback? A lot of people will argue that. You know, some say he's so talented, he's so fast, it's worth it to to attempt a return. So, by all means, throw in your opinion on the live blog, what you think of Sam Shields, what he did or what he should have done, by all means. And very shortly, we'll open up the phone lines here. Let me get through some of the individual statistics, because once again, you know, kicking it off with the passing game of Aaron Rodgers, although it wasn't, you know, the greatest, prettiest performance in the second half, it certainly was in the first. Aaron Rodgers completes 17 of 28 passes for 310 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT, but another passer rating over 110. Not just over 100, it's every game we're talking about a passer rating over 110 for 119.6 from Aaron Rodgers today. Just sick. You know, the numbers he's putting up this year are just sick. The running game, nothing to really, write home about. James Starks, 13 carries for 49 yards, a 3.8 yard average. Ryan Grant, 9 carries for 25 yards, a 2.8 yard average. Aaron Rodgers, 7 for 15. Randall Cobb, 1 for 6. John Kuhn, 2 for only 1 yard. They, of course, went to the run game a lot in the second half as they tried to run out the clock. So, you know, of course, the Rams know it's coming, and you can understand when the run game isn't working there. But, I mean, when the pass game is working as well as it did in the first half, why run, right? That's the way I look at it. In the receiving department, Jordy Nelson, 2 catches for 104 yards. That is an average of 52 yards a catch. Has the touchdown for her, a 93-yarder. I think I heard it was the 4th longest touchdown reception in Packers history. Congrats to Jordy Nelson. Greg Jennings leads the team in receptions, 6 for 82 yards. James Jones, 1 for 35, but that one catch went for a touchdown in the first half. Ryan Grant, 2 out of the backfield for 27 yards. Donald Driver, 3 for 25, hits pay dirt one time. Jermichael Finley not getting into the action too much today, 1 for 20 yards. Do we start to talk about Finley not getting in the action, talking about how he was, you know, not targeted today, only had 2 targets, one out of the 2 was caught. James Starks, 2 catches for 17 yards, and, you know, that was it in the receiving department. So, you know, 1 week after Aaron Rodgers hits 12 different receivers, what do we got today? 7 only. 7 different receivers caught passes today. So, and with that, I'm going to open up the phone lines here. The phone number Our Skype line here at Cheesehead TV is area code 646-797-2909. By all means, if you want to call in, give your thoughts on the game, please share them. Like I said, I didn't even see the first half of the game. Let me know how you thought things played out. Let me know if you think there's a team in the NFL that can actually beat the Packers. I'm not so sure there is. I mean, it's going to come at some point, but I mean, this has to be the undisputed number one team in the NFL, with the Detroit Lions perhaps, putting up the only fight. I think a game against the New England Patriots would be good. Packers aren't going to face them in the regular season. The only place that might happen is in the Super Bowl, and that's not totally out of the question, as good as those teams are playing, although I'm sure some other teams will try to stake their claim before the year is over as well. So please, folks, call in. Let us know if you were part of the group at Throwback Weekend in Green Bay. Would love to hear from you. Would love to hear your thoughts on the festivities in Green Bay this weekend. Folks, if you happen to missed it, it was just a fantastic time. I can only hope. I'm not guaranteeing anything right now. Can only hope this is going to be an annual event put on here by CheeseheadTV.com and PocketDoppler.com. Met a lot of people this weekend that I've talked to online in the Twitterverse, right here on the live blogs at Cheesehead TV. Putting a face to a name was just so nice. Last night at the Abbey Bar in De Pere. And that is a nice bar, by the way. If you're ever in the Green Bay area, want to go out sometime, I highly suggest checking out the Abbey. Tom Crabtree, tight end for the Green Bay Packers, joining us last night, signing autographs, taking pictures with fans. So nice of him, a stand-up guy. Very, very nice for him to do that. And today, tailgate at the Green Bay Distillery in the parking lot, and we had such a good time today. Of course, before the game, we had the live stream going. I assume several of you saw our little party going on. Had a DJ playing tunes, had a photo booth printing out immediate photos for everybody there, lots of food, lots of drink, beverages being consumed, adult beverages, but a good time was had by all, and maybe once the Throwback Weekenders file out of the stadium, they can share their thoughts on how the weekend was. We'll try to keep you up to date all week here at Cheesehead TV about how the events went. As for the Packers here, they held up their end of the bargain in rather undramatic fashion. But, it's a win's a win, as always. Is this getting too boring for anyone? being 6-0, being very little to actually argue over. We get, with A.J. Hawk flipping the bird is the most controversial thing, because there's nothing controversial happening on the field. So we got to go things that are happening outside the lines, although I understand he was inside the confines of the field when that happened, or at least I'm assuming he did. I didn't see it happen in live action. I just saw the photo from afterwards. But, how about a bend but don't break defense for the Packers, giving up over 400 yards of offense to the St. Louis Rams? I suppose that is a little bit of a concern, but I mean, it's like I said, they bend a lot, over 400 yards, 424 to be exact, but the don't break part, that's what matters, right? They held the Rams to 3 points, three total points on the day, darn close to a shutout, 7 seconds from the first half ending from being a shutout, and obviously, the Rams were at the end trying to go for touchdowns instead of field goals, going for it on fourth downs, things like that. But, 3 points, that says it all, doesn't it? Rams actually have more first downs than the Packers, 22-20. So, but here's the Rams' stats on third down, 3 of 13, and on fourth downs, 1 of 4. I mean, so those percentages are not very good. The Packers are stiff when it counts. I was actually pretty impressed today with tight end Lance Kendricks of the University of Wisconsin, Wisconsin native. For a rookie, looking pretty good. I like what I saw out of him, but it didn't matter much in the whole scheme of things as the Rams weren't able to convert on those opportunities they had, the good plays that they had from Kendricks. And, Sam Bradford throwing an interception today. The Packers win in the turnover game. Well, they tied. That's Aaron Rodgers throws the interception on the tip pass near the end. But Sam Shields gets the turnover earlier. So almost, they forced two turnovers, actually. Morgan Burnett forced a turnover, or forced a fumble, I should say. Packers didn't recovering it. But, so the Packers, doing their job in the takeaway department. Once again, what did I hear? I think they said on the broadcast the Packers have 11 interceptions on the year and are number 2 in the NFL in that category, I believe. So, it's amazing how this defense is that it's almost like it's planned, like, they say to themselves, it doesn't matter. We can let them drive past the 50 as long as, once they enter our territory or our red zone or whatever. Oh, okay, let's turn it on now. Let's stop them on third and fourth down and let's keep them out of the end zone. And even from putting any points on the board, Rams missed a field goal first possession of the game, didn't they? So I see the tweets coming in on the live blog from Mike Vandermaas of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Ryan Taylor had an elbow injury. Shields had a head injury, still being evaluated. So there you go with the fallout from the game from a health standpoint. Just some small observations here. Like I said, I didn't watch the whole game. You had to be a little bit optimistic about the return of injured players. That would be, I would say, Brian Bulaga at right tackle after missing 2 games here, or game and a half, whatever it is, where he came out and returned this week. Look good out there. He played at right tackle. Marshall Newhouse, as expected, or at least that's what I thought would happen, played at left tackle, did well. And Frank Zombo playing the first game of the year at outside linebacker, kind of, rotated in and out with Eric Walden. Frank Zombo didn't get any sacks, do anything special. But, I mean, just to come back from injury and show that he's part of the team again and could be a force to be reckoned with in the future. Good for him. Good for the injured players coming back. I would assume these other injuries would be fairly minor. And again, I'm making an assumption. Perhaps I shouldn't. Shields has this head injury here. If there's any position on the team where the Packers could afford an injury, it's cornerback. I mean, there's a lot of depth there. I don't know how good the depth is, but there's a lot of depth. A lot of people to fill in, at least. I mean, let's just assume Sam Shields is out for a week. I mean, obviously, you've got Tremon Williams and Charles Woodson at the corners, your starters. Jared Bush appears to be the next guy in line, would be the nickelback. And you got Pat Lee, and you even got rookie Devon House if need be. There's a lot of players there that can fill in. The Packers have 1 game left before the bye week. It's a thing where if Sam Shields needs to sit a week next week against the Minnesota Vikings, he can come back, and then, he's basically has 1 week off versus the Vikings, 2 weeks off for the bye, 3 weeks off all the way up until game time when they come back. So, if he needs time off, he'll get a lot of time off. So, it's That's a good thing for the Packers in that there's a lot of people to step in there at the corner position in the secondary, not so much at safety in the secondary, but at cornerback. So, interesting tweet here from Rob Domofsky. Sam Bradford just went by in a cart toward the Lambeau exam room. Didn't really see anything about that from the game. Not that Packers fans are going to be too concerned about the opposition. Of course, I personally don't wish any ill will toward any opponent, but Bradford plays the whole game, didn't he? Unless he came out right at the end as I was trying to get ready for the post-game show here. He appeared to get ready at the end and appeared in the game up until the end. And so that's kind of interesting that he came out on a cart heading toward the exam room. I'm going to get a X-ray? I don't know. So, anyhow, Packers, big-time winners today. What was the spread, we said? It was like 15 points, 15 and a half points. Packers cover that. The over-under was much larger and went under today. Packers perhaps scoring less than expected. In fact, okay, so we can mention this as well. Last week, the Packers scored 25 points, right? This week, they scored 24. A week ago against the Atlanta Falcons in Week 5, that was their lowest offensive output of the year, scoring output. They do one better this week, or perhaps you could say one worse, by scoring one less point. And now, Week 6, the lowest offensive output of the year. So the points are getting less here for the Packers. It hasn't factored into the win and loss column. They're still winning. what's going to be interesting to look at here that I just kind of went through my mind right now as we speak, the difference between the Packers' scoring defense and total defense. Total defense being defined by the amount of yards they give up, because it seems like every week the Packers give up a ton of yards, a lot of yards, especially through the air. Today being no exception against Sam Bradford and the Rams. They fall behind early and they just have to pass to catch up. Sam Bradford has over 300 yards passing today. But keeping them out of the end zone. So I can see the Packers being one of the worst total defenses in the NFL, although not necessarily, one of the worst scoring defenses. They hold St. Louis today to only 3 points, and before that, last week, they hold... Would they hold Atlanta to 14? And most days holding a team to 14 points, that's, you consider that a pretty good defensive effort. You'd like lower, obviously, but 14 points, that's pretty good defensive showing. And so I can't wait to see once all the games are done today, tonight probably, once all the teams have played their games this week, where the Packers are in the rankings in those categories, total defense versus scoring defense. So see how much of a discrepancy there is there. And it's probably better to judge a team based upon scoring defense, because again, it's all that matters is what happens in the... on the scoreboard, who has more points than another? The Packers could give up 400 yards every game, but as long as they win, they win. I see the quote here from Aaron Nagler quoting him here on our live blog. We're 7 days away from being 7-0. Interesting that Mike McCarthy is showing a lot of confidence here. Packers have one last game here before the bye week. Next week, they play the Minnesota Vikings, division rival. All games against a division rival are big. They want to get a leg up against others within the division and head into the bye week after that. Get time to rest up a little bit and get ready for the stretch run of the season. I'm excited personally after that bye week to see how a guy like Mike Neal could finally come back. Have you forgotten about Mike Neal a little bit? You almost have, huh? I mean, the Packers undefeated, so you kind of out of sight, out of mind. And they've been doing a good job, obviously, with B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, Jarius Wynn, C.J. Wilson's picking his game up, Howard Green making an appearance every now and then. Haven't really needed Mike Neal too much. Everybody thought they would need Mike Neal coming into the year, a projected starter. Packers are winning without him, but could get a boost. Could get a boost once he does come back. Wisconsin Rob commenting on the live blog. Mike Neal doesn't deserve the starting job from Jarius Wynn, though. That very well could be true. I'd keep starting Jarius Wynn. He deserves it. Deserves the start. Been playing well. But, as the defensive line is kind of a rotational thing, it doesn't really matter who gets the starts in terms of, playing time, probably. They'll end up getting an equal amount of playing time if Mike Neal is healthy. And, we'll see what his impact is, if he is just a flash in the pan or, maybe kind of a tease, you could say. Comment from Pac Fan from Illinois. He says, next week Howard Green will be playing a lot. Are you anticipating Adrian Peterson will be running the ball a lot next week? I'm assuming that's what Pac Fan from Illinois means. Adrian Peterson, obviously the best player on the Vikings, one of the best players in the NFL, best running back in the NFL probably. So Packers going to be gearing up to stop the run game of the Vikings. Packers giving up quite a few yards today on the ground to the St. Louis Rams. Once again, not meaning a whole lot when they don't put any points on the board. But Steven Jackson, another very well-respected running back in the NFL, multiple Pro Bowls for him, 18 carries for 96 yards today. 5.3 yards per carry. So, Steven Jackson having a good game, being spelled by Williams there, 4 carries for 24 yards. But the Packers keeping them off the scoreboard once again. I keep coming back to that. They can give up all the yards they want, but as long as they're, holding them out of the end zone, things like that. So, it's just Packers doing what needs to be done to get to 6-0. Can we go on into a slumber here? Can we go into hibernation till Thanksgiving? Is that the next game that's actually going to be exciting that the Packers play? I suppose I exaggerate a bit here, but they're just looking so dominant. I mean, I don't think that anybody can deny their dominance. All the power rankings that exist everywhere from ESPN to every expert in the world has the Packers at number one, and I don't know how you can't. So, it's next week, it's a division rival against Minnesota. You're always going to get up for a division rival, but, that Minnesota hasn't been good this year. They haven't been good. Hopefully, maybe the Brewers here can give Wisconsin sports fans a little more excitement tonight as they attempt to keep their World Series hopes alive. Wisconsin Rob going to make a Brewers prediction tonight. Brewers win. Brewers win tonight. That's my prediction. A lot of controversy about Sean Markham starting on the mound tonight for the Brewers. What's happening to him? Had such a good year during the regular season. All of a sudden, two shaky starts in the postseason here, and everybody's down on him. I just think that's the way things are in baseball. No player is going to be perfect, so he has such a good season during the year. If he has a poor outing in the regular season, nobody really thinks about it because there's 162 games. And now all of a sudden he has two poor showings in the postseason. It's like, well, I say he's due for a good one. He's due. Sean Markham is due. Wisconsin Rob says dead arm, lifeless. It, you know, I've heard that. I've heard people claim that. EQ fan 592 comments, I think Markham may have an injury of some sort. His speed is down and his release point is off. I hope that's not the case. You know, here's to hoping Ron Renicki, you know, believes in Markham. And if there is an injury or a dead arm there, he would recognize it and not put the team in that position, you know, trotting out a guy with a dead arm, trotting out a guy with an injury. Because if that's the case, I mean, it's lose and go home. Losing the season is over tonight. So there you go. I mean, this is it. The Brewers have to give it their best effort or, you know, say goodbye until spring training. So, you know, it's, you know, you just hope Brewers can win tonight, and then you got a one-game series tomorrow. Winner-take-all for the World Series will be interesting. Comment from Cahedron. I think the Packers are playing a smart game as opposed to going all out and going for the blowout games just for the heck of it. Yeah, you know, I can see somebody saying that. I can see, you know, they play so well in the first half. Obviously, the Packers are going to play as hard as they can in the first half when the game is still in question. You know, when the outcome is still undetermined. You know, you obviously can't slack up over a 7-0 lead, a 10-0 lead, a 14-0 lead. You know, no lead is you know, safe that early in the game. So they you know, pile up 24 points before halftime. And then in the second half, they just kind of, you know, like I said, put it on cruise control. You know, and they nobody looked too excited on offense. Nobody looked too excited on defense. You know, like I say, defense kept them out of the end zone. But the offense, you know, didn't really do anything special. You know, in the third and fourth quarters of the game. A lot of punts. Tim Mastay probably had his biggest workout of the year. How many punts did Tim Mastay have today? 5 punts for 44-yard average. A little bit concerning at the end, the long punt return in which Mastay had to make a tackle himself. Didn't seem to be Pat Lee's best day on special teams. He seemed to make a couple mistakes out there, you know, allowing guys to get around him on the edge as a gunner on the punt teams. But, you know, the bright spots, you know, that I think that I saw on the team, I mentioned them before, the injured guys coming back, Frank Zombo, Brian Bulaga coming back from injury, being solid, not spectacular, but solid. The offensive line as a whole doing pretty good. For the Packers, they only give up 1 sack on the day. Marshall Newhouse is settling in nicely at left tackle. Brian Bulaga coming back nicely from injury. And the interior guys basically doing what they've done all year. Wells, Sitton, Lang. Good job by them keeping Aaron Rodgers clean. And on the defensive side of the ball, Desmond Bishop was a busy guy today. Led the team in tackles, 14 total tackles, 9 solo. But, you know, just always seemed to be around the ball. Of course, he made a couple tackles downfield. I mean, he's a linebacker. It's going to happen. But, you know, I thought he just was around the ball a lot today and looked active and you know, just doing a nice job in general. So kudos to Desmond Bishop, getting a thumbs up from me at least as far as his performance goes. Thank you so much for joining us today, folks, here at Cheesehead TV, Inner Post Game Show. Just a great weekend all around with our throwback weekend festivities in Green Bay. Tweet up last night, tailgate today. Party's happening right now after the game. The tailgate's going, is still raging on at the Green Bay Distillery right next to Lambeau Field. I guarantee it, they are still partying at the distillery right now, the throwback weekend folks, and they'll be going all night long. So have fun, folks, who are there in Green Bay. And thank you to everybody who joins us online here on Cheesehead TV as well. Hope you can join us at Throwback Weekend next year. So anyhow, for everybody at Cheesehead TV, thanks for joining us. Thanks for, I know a lot of people filling in today. I believe Mark and Oppie filling in as moderators on the live blog. Thank you so much for your help in helping, you know, what we do every Sunday here at Cheesehead TV. Going to have all sorts of coverage throughout the week. Tomorrow morning, live interview with Tom Crabtree on Railbird Central, as we do every Monday morning. At CheeseheadTV.com. So check that out. 8:45 a.m. is when his interview, Railbird Central, starts at 8:30 a.m. Lambeau time. So have a good weekend, folks. Enjoy the Brewers game tonight. Cheer them on to the World Series. Go Pack, go. 6-0. Everything's great once again in the world of Wisconsin sports, right? Wisconsin Badgers won. Packers won, and Brewers going to play tonight, and hopefully they win as well. So see you later, folks. Thanks for joining us. Have a good weekend. Go Pack, go. See ya.